Now, if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Jonah, we will attempt to go through these two chapters and see what we can learn for our benefit and for our strengthening in our Christian faith. Jonah was a well-known prophet. We don't actually read much about Jonah outside of his own book. But we do read in 2 Kings, chapter 14, verse 25, during the reign of Jeroboam, Jonah was prophet during his reign. And 2 Kings 14, 25 said, Jeroboam restored the border of Israel from Lebo Hamath as far as the Sea of the Arabah, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke by his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet from Gath-Hepher. And that is one of the rare mentions of Jonah in the Bible outside of his own book. Jonah had made this prophecy that the borders would be restored, and the borders were restored. And that actually contributed towards Jonah being an acceptable, almost popular prophet. I say almost popular because no one who faithfully declares God's word will ever be fully popular in this world. Look at any of the prophets. When they were being faithful to God, people stood against them. People mocked them. People didn't want to obey the word that they gave. And Jonah, because of this prophecy that had been fulfilled, was accepted amongst them and almost popular. I mentioned Jonah was a prophet. Prophet in many ways was not unlike a minister. His job, his task, was to hear from God and then to pass on to God's people what he had heard. God didn't speak directly in those days to his people. He spoke through his prophet. And Jonah had been set aside by God, for God, so that the people would have somebody who could give them God's word. You could almost say that he was their minister, though that word was never used. He was the prophet of the Lord, set aside to do God's will. What Jonah told the people was what God told him. And he didn't have the benefit of God's word written down for him, but we do. And Jonah heard the voice of God speaking. It's interesting, if you look through the prophets in the Old Testament, they heard the voice of God. They didn't read the voice of God speaking to them through the scriptures. They actually heard God's voice. And when God spoke to them, it was so that they in turn would speak to the people for whom they were responsible. And any man who declares God's word faithfully will never, ever be a fully popular man. Because God's word cuts across what men want to do today. God's word is not in line with what people want to do, because people want to sin. People want to go their own way. People want to do their own thing. And God's word cuts across that. And therefore, the one who declares God's word is not a popular man. And that's the background towards Jonah. Jonah was a prophet in the northern kingdom of Israel, as I mentioned, under Jeroboam II. And he was a biased prophet. You know what a bias is? I don't play bowls, and I wouldn't know how to play bowls, but inside a bowl, there is a bias. So that if you throw the ball along the ground, and you don't know the bias of that ball, the ball will not go straight, it will go like that. And the art of bowling is to know the bias of the ball, so that it always arrives where you want it to arrive at the end, that is, in front of the little white ball. Jonah came from a people who were biased against the heathen. Not biased against God, biased against the heathen nations. God umpteen times had told them to take his word to the Gentiles. Like in Isaiah 49 verse 6, I will give you as a light to the Gentiles. Why? That you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. God wanted his salvation to go by his people to the ends of the earth. And Israel never did that. They always turned aside. They always failed. They reckoned that their God was their God and nobody else's. He belonged to Israel. He didn't belong to anyone else. Therefore, they did not want to share God's word or God's salvation with anyone else. And you can see how wrong that is. And when God spoke to Jonah and told him to go to Nineveh, Jonah ran in the opposite direction. He heard God all right, but he was not going to do what God said for two very clear reasons. One, he was scared stiff. And he was scared stiff because the people of Nineveh were Israel's sworn enemies. They hated the Ninevites, and the Ninevites hated them. And the Ninevites were a very brutal people. And Israel would not take God's word to them. God told Jonah to go. Jonah didn't say no. But in actual fact, his actions said no. He ran in the opposite direction. He wasn't going to do what God had told him. A, because he was frightened, and B, because he was biased. I don't know if you have a problem on the islands with drunkards or drug addicts. I don't know. But I know if you go to Glasgow, and if you go to Edinburgh, Dundee, Aberdeen, any of the large cities, you will see people sitting at the side of the pavement begging. There are various reasons why they're there. And one of the main reasons is that they are addicted to something, be it drugs, be it drink, whatever. They are cut off from God. And yet, if you walk past them, sometimes you think, oh, I don't want to speak to him. And it's not only him, there are hers as well. Ladies there as well, sitting in the gutter. And we pass them by and we think, the gospel's not for them. God didn't say that. God said the opposite. God said the word of God is for all men, irrespective of color or creed or kind. The gospel is for whosoever will. But Jonah would have none of it. He ran away in the opposite direction. He was a biased prophet. Sadly, he was also a rebellious prophet. How can a prophet of God rebel against his God? We would wonder how or why this is possible, because God gave his word to Jonah. Jonah turned a deaf ear, having heard that word, and ran away down to Joppa to get the ferry and to sail to the other end of the kingdom, to get as far away from Nineveh as he could, to get as far away from God's presence as he could. And I find this difficult to understand, because Jonah was a prophet of the Lord, set aside to do God's work, but here he is trying to flee from God. And I wonder if you can think of one place on the face of the earth where you can hide from God. I would like to tell, I would like you to tell me when you go out the door, when I'm shaking hands with you. I would like to know where that place is where you can hide from God, because there is nowhere. What does Psalm 139 say? Whither shall I go from your presence, or whither shall I hide from the Lord? There is no place that I can hide from God. Jonah should have known that. Sometimes we try to hide from God. Sometimes we don't like what God says to us, either through his word or through his servant who stands week by week in this pulpit. Jonah was disobedient. Are we ever tempted to be disobedient? I sometimes think we are. I was for a long time disobedient, but then eventually God's love broke through. Shortly after, I tried to commit suicide in Inverness. God's love broke through and showed me what a hopeless, helpless, useless person I was. And when his love broke through, God changed everything. I used to be a postman in Inverness, and you wonder, well, why does a postman come to be standing in this pulpit? You could wonder. And it's because God called me to be a missionary, and along with my wife we went out to West Africa and worked for some 18 years seeking to share God's word with people who had not heard it very much. And over the course of 18 years we learned so much from those people, more than we ever taught them. Wonderful people. But Jonah didn't want to do that. He was rebellious. So we come to, after the rebellious prophet, we see the suffering prophet. God hurled a storm out onto the sea, and they were unable to resist that storm, a mighty tempest. God had caught up with Jonah. And I don't know where you stand. I don't know what your faith is. But let me say in passing that if you try to escape from God, God will catch up with you somewhere, sometime. Always. We can never escape from him, thankfully. He could run, but he couldn't hide. Neither can we. We can run from God, but we can't hide. The sailors did everything they could to try and bring that ship to the shore, but they were unable to do so because of the violence of the storm. And then they discovered that they had a stowaway. Well, not actually a stowaway, a runaway. There is a difference, because he had paid his fare, so he wasn't a stowaway. But he was fast asleep when everyone else was crying out to their gods for mercy. And the captain found him hiding, sleeping. And he wakened him very unceremoniously, told him to call out to his God. Maybe he would hear and have mercy on them. And then they discovered who Jonah was. He was a servant of the God of heaven. The God of heaven who had made the dry land and who had made the sea. The sea which was seeking to destroy them, to engulf them. And they were terrified. And these were men of the sea, men who knew the sea, whose everyday occupation was the sea. And yet, they couldn't overcome the power of the waves. They didn't have engines. They had oars. And they took Jonah and they cast him into the sea. Now, you know the sea much better than I will ever know the sea. And if you have a raging storm, can those huge waves be calmed within 5 seconds? No, they can't. It's a process that can take hours. And yet it says the sea calmed as soon as Jonah was thrown in. And yet, in the midst of his suffering, God had provided a means of escape, a means of refuge for Jonah. Not what he would have chosen, but I suppose any port in a storm. He was swallowed by this great big fish. Some people say it was a whale, but it wasn't a whale, because a whale could not swallow a human being. Was a great big fish, and engulfed inside that fish we have what Jonah talks about in chapter 2, going down, down, down. Where did that fish go to? That fish went to the bed of the sea, because it said where the weeds were. The weeds don't grow 100 feet above the bed of the ocean, they grow on the bed of the ocean. That fish went right down to the roots of the mountains. Jonah's position was utterly and completely hopeless. No human help could ever reach him. He was cut off. And in the same way, the sinner is cut off from God. The one who has not given his life to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has not acknowledged their need before God, that person is cut off. And only God can bring help and bring light and can bring deliverance. Jeremiah says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Jonah was in a dreadful, terrible, awful place. I can't even begin to describe what it must have been like, but it was in total blackness, total darkness, going down, down, down. Cut off. And there he repented. There he recognized what he had done in fleeing from the Lord. There he recognized his disobedience to God. And there he repented and he came back to God. I remembered the Lord. Verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. He remembered his God. He remembered what he had done. He remembered the storm, his disobedience, his being cast into the sea, engulfed in this huge fish. And he acknowledged his need before God. that God alone could deliver him. And in his distress and his hopelessness, he called out to God. And it said, I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me. Several times you get that repeating itself in the second part of this second chapter. Jonah cried out, the Lord heard. There is no place on the face of the earth where God cannot hear the cry of a repentant sinner. Wherever you are, whatever you are doing, no matter how desperate your situation, you are never cut off from God in this world. But if we allow this being cut off from God to go on and on and on, one day we will be cut off even from God. And there is no hope. We will have gone beyond the veil. Please, don't ever go that way. Don't ever go that far. Acknowledge, if you have never acknowledged before, your need of a Savior. Acknowledge that you're cut off from him. Ask him for forgiveness, and he will save you. And in that desperate situation, where no help could possibly reach him, God reached down and he spoke to that fish. Because after all, he had created that fish. So who other than him could speak to it? And he spoke to that fish and commanded it to let Jonah go. And verse 10 says, so the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out onto dry land. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is true. No matter how far I've drifted away, no matter how deeply I have rebelled against my God, the message of these two chapters of Jonah is that there is hope. Because there is a God who loves you and a God who cares for you. But I have to say, concerning Jonah, there was a remaining bias. And we'll see, God willing, this evening, what that bias accomplished in this prophet of God's life. May God spare us.